Hello and welcome back to the Unleashed podcast. Today I'm here with my best friend. It's the second episode that I've had her on, so I wanted to start another round of interviews, but I thought it would be good to do another one with her because we've both been going through some deep work and she's basically showed me a lot of points of view and perspectives that have really impacted how I live today, like with going after your dreams and not worrying about what other people think and pushing through hard times. And yeah, I just think that a lot of people would be able to benefit from that. So do you want to do a little bit of an introduction with some of your things that you do for your career and your passions and your goals?
Yep, I'm Alan Jade. So I am a DJ, a model, and I do a lot of like acting and waitressing, those kind of things. And I also partake in a lot of kickboxing and now jujitsu, so MMA. And yeah, that's like mainly what I get up to. They all like have such a different dynamic. And so it's really a good way to like learn how to balance everything. Yeah.
Cool. Just a side note as well, we both grew up in Te Awamutu in New Zealand and we were best friends since we were 11. So how many years is that now? That's like
14.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's like 14. A long time.
Yeah.
So you were both growing a lot. The first thing I wanted to dive into was what were some of the humps in the road whilst building your music career and how do you keep pushing through when the going gets tough?
I'd say probably one of the main big humps is like imposter syndrome. So, you know, when you really feel like you don't deserve it, or like, why is this happening to me? And like, you put in like so much effort, but then you feel like it's still not enough. And so I feel like kind of pushing through that feeling and being like, no, you do deserve it. And like, no matter what, no one can take away that hard work anyway. So I think that's like probably one of the main things.
Do you think that when people go after their dreams, do you think they underestimate how long it takes to see success?
Yeah, I think that's another big thing. It's like really knowing that it's about the journey rather than the destination, and just like working on each little bit step by step. And not give it, like, you got to give yourself credit for all the little steps towards it rather than just like trying to be like, oh, I haven't made it yet to the big thing. Or, you know, it does take time to like reach those big goals. And but yeah, it's really just about like putting in the time and effort for the journey rather than the main big destination.
Something I've been thinking about heaps as well is each time you do something that's scary, so I've been relating it to YouTube or DJing, like every time I film a new video, the next video I might ramble less and get to the point more, and then the next video I might have like a better setup with lighting, and then the next one have a bit better audio quality or editing style or something. So you just keep building on those little things. And then with DJing, because I started to dive into it as well, like the first few times, those videos of you back in the day when you're like so stiff staring at the screen, you can't. So like then the next time, I used to be like that as well, the next time you hop up then you'll focus on having a bit better stage presence, and then the next time having like a bit better mixing. And then for me it was like I would practice as much as I could at home on my decks, but then if I went to a gig and someone had changed the settings that I wouldn't change at home or something was broken, then it's like just getting experience at different locations with different equipment so you can troubleshoot it when you're on the spot and the audience is looking at you and things like that. So it's like not an immediate thing. You can't just hop up, like relating it to whatever you're trying to do in life, you can't just hop up and be like the best immediately. You just have to like work on one goal every time you do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, is not trying to be perfect straight away, because you're not going to be when you start something new. And just taking the time to work on each little step, like you just said, just like first it's like, okay, maybe just actually look up and then like next time, like, yeah, really work on, like, just actually look up. And then maybe start actually dancing, remembering why you started DJing in the first place, which is usually because you love music, so really feeling it. And then it's slowly, each time you do it you just get better and better. And rather than being like, oh, I'm not perfect straight away, it's like just enjoying that process of getting better each time. And it does feel really rewarding when you can look back and be like, oh, actually I have done a lot of growing, I'm so much better than say this time. Or instead of going, oh, I'm not as good as I want to be right now, it's like still a continuous growth process.
Yeah, What do you think is the main reason people don't take action on their wildest dreams? Because I was thinking back to when we're at school or whatever, and people would be in class like, I want to be this and I want to be that. And then you just like leave school and get a job. And like you just never think that you can actually do it. So do you think it's like fear of judgment or like other reasons like imposter syndrome, or you just don't think that your life can be super fun every day?
I think the comfort zone is probably the main thing. Like people might want to do these things, but they are scared to get out of their like normal thing, or like, you know, because even if you give it a go and you do fail, it's like, so what? You can just go back to how you were doing it before. But it is fear, definitely a big one. But that kind of uncomfortable feeling where you're not familiar with something and you're trying to first give it a go, it's like scary. But if you just try, it could, instead of focusing on what could go wrong, it's rather try like think about what could go right and just do it anyway. Because if you love something, like it'll just feel good doing it rather than like being like, and even if you fail, you know, it's like you can just go back to what you were doing before if it really isn't what you expected it to be, or you know. So I think comfort zone and fear are probably two of the main factors of why people don't go for it.
I think your circle comes into play as well, because if you're, or especially like coming from a small town, if all your friends just do like the societal norms and then you decide, hey, I want to follow my dreams, and then that whatever it is, if you're like trying to get healthy and get into shape or change your career or start a business, it triggers people because they aren't doing it. So often people will get like shamed by their friends or made fun of for trying to go after something. But if you're surrounded in people where that's just normal and then they support you through the highs and the lows, that can make a big difference as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. I actually had to leave the whole kind of circle I had created in my hometown, our hometown, because not necessarily that they were trying to hold me back or anything, but because they were not reaching for anything. So it stops you from trying because you're just like, oh yeah, that comfort zone of like, oh, but I'll just hang out and like chill. And they might not want to go for these things. So it's like, it's your decision to take yourself out of that place. And yeah, maybe you have to be alone for a little bit, or until you find new people that are going to kind of push you in the right direction, or, you know, are trying to chase goals as well. So definitely, your circle impacts that a lot.
Last year you went across the world to Lost Lands. So what's your advice for people afraid of doing things alone or being seen alone at a festival? Because also my friend Laura, she traveled to the UK for bodybuilding and she posted that on her story as well. She's like, oh, people keep asking me who I'm traveling with, and I was like, oh, I'm just going by myself. And people were like shocked at her as well, like, how could you do that by yourself and have no one to hang out with? And you did the same thing. You're like, well, if I want to go, I'm not going to wait for anyone. I'm going on the year that suits me, and if someone wants to come, they can. If they don't, then you'll just go and immerse yourself in it. So how did you like navigate getting around, like to the festival and around the festival, and then how do you drop the fear of like not being seen, like dropping the expectation of always having to like be conjoined at the hip to people?
I think it is really just kind of not wanting to miss out on things that are so important to you. And yeah, sometimes other people aren't ready to go, or even then it like can even make it easier when, or not necessarily easier, but you're gonna really take the experience in so differently when you don't have anyone else's kind of opinion or presence to impact how you make decisions. So I think it is actually important to do trips and little things by yourself to kind of just, yeah, go for it, get over that fear. And that doesn't mean that I wasn't scared. Like I still had plenty of times where I was like, oh my gosh, like I am by myself, but yeah, I wasn't going to be missing something that's like so important to me. And I've actually seen it so many times where I've seen people post online saying, oh hey, I really want to go to this concert or this thing, but I've got no one to go with. It's just like so sad because they're missing out on something they really want to just because that fear of being alone. When even if you go with someone, you know, you might not even make new friends, but if you go by yourself, you could meet so many like-minded people. It's again that comfort zone, kind of just like pushing yourself out. That's where the real growth happens. Yeah, you meet new people, make decisions on your own without impacted opinion, And yeah, it's like really seeing things from like your own perspective. It's like super important. The festival itself is very large, so yeah, you just kind of have to be like aware and like just make smart decisions. And even just like traveling around America alone, like, you know, you got to be home before dark and like that kind of stuff. So it's just being like aware, and pre-planning is probably like the safest way to do it. It's just making sure you've got like an exact plan, so then you're not just like left on the side of the road going like, oh, where am I going next, or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, the thing I was going to bring up as well was how you taught me not to be afraid at gigs, because even when I moved to Gold Coast, I went to like a gig in the city in Brisbane, and yeah, just like didn't know anyone yet, and I think it was for one of my friends' birthdays, but like I didn't really know anyone else going, and I was getting there before anyone else, so I was just like lined up outside by myself, and then people just start chatting to me in the line, and then when I was at the gig waiting for them, like people will come up and introduce themselves. And it's like a difference also with bass music as well. That was kind of like a techno event, but it's not like a judgy thing, because people are actually there for the music, so you do make new connections. And then when I went to this Bushdoof last year, that was life-changing. That was Flower Flame Spirit, and that's when I had the Mazda 6 car. It was just like a four-door car, like not a four-wheel drive, and I didn't even have a tent. I didn't own anything or like cooking equipment, and I just rocked up in the car and then just slept in the back seat, and it was like a three-day event. I think I just took like protein bars and stuff, and then I just made it my goal to make new connections. And I think I made like 10 or 12 new friends in one weekend. And then I was like going off and talking to different groups of people. And that's also where I met my partner now as well. And then I've been reflecting on when I've been going to events with him, like we just hang out together and do our own little thing. So if you're used to going with like a partner or just like a group of friends, you don't really go outside of your own circle to make new connections. So with the next Bushdoof, I'm playing it in 2 or 1 week. I said that's my goal. He's actually going away for work this time, but I said I want to make it my goal to like not rush off the next day or like have to get back. I want to make it the same as Flower Flame and just like go and talk to people and make new connections.
Yeah, and I think that's a like a big thing. It's like, even though say like we're best friends, we love going to things together, it's like still important to have those ones where you do go by yourself, because yeah, otherwise, even if we're hanging out, like we'll mainly spend the most of the time together, and we might meet like one or two people and have yarns, but you won't really connect with other people because you've got your like your comfort connection with you. And so yeah, it's really important to do those kind of things, and you'll meet so many amazing people that yeah are like-minded. And yeah.
Can you share a little bit about your 90% plant-based approach as well? It's just like crazy that we grew up and then both love dubstep and then both eat the same. That like does not happen. But I remember you told me ages ago like your concept about the monkey story, about how they eat like a little bit of bugs but mostly plants. And then also your friend that came to you and said, oh, like I'm having cravings for this thing and I don't know what to do because I'm eating vegetarian or plant-based, and then how you responded to their comment.
Oh yeah, so like the monkey thing, it's like, yeah, they eat mainly plant-based, but every now and then they might, yeah, eat bugs or like maybe even like a rat or something that they find for like that boost. But majority, like 90% of their diet is plants, because it's like obviously where all the nutrition is and that kind of thing. So I kind of think we're very similar, so of course our diet should be like around the same. And yeah, I feel like if you're so restrictive, you're just going to want those things. Like my friend came to me and I had to explain to them that it's okay if you're having like little bits here and there, because like if your body's craving it, then like allow it, even if it's something that's like not good for you, you know, like chocolate bad dessert thing, you know. It's like you got to give yourself that like leeway, those treats, those things, so then you have that balanced lifestyle and that fun and all those kind of things. But it, like how you do with intuitive eating, is like the more you eat better, the more your body will tell you that it wants those good foods more. But then yeah, still allowing yourself to have that little bit of leeway, especially when you're out with friends or like maybe visiting a new country where they've got like a certain delicacy, so you can actually try it and not feel guilty about it, being like, oh no, I have to stick to this exact thing, and it makes me a bad person if I don't, because it's not, you know, I feel like that 90% thing, we are closest to a chimp, watches how they eat anyway. So
I think so many people don't try it because they just think it's obviously so strict, or like it's overwhelming. They don't know how they'll stick to it. It's okay when you're at home cooking for yourself, but say if you're out traveling, it can be harder. Or even when I lived ages away in Australia, I lived 10 and a half hours above Gold Coast. But even then, I'd go to gigs up in Mackay, which is like 4 hours above there again as well. So like when you go past those gas stations, it's like the outback. Like they do not know what something vegan is. Like you could probably get an apple from the gas station, but it's like pies and stuff. So I'll just get like a spinach pastry roll and it's like not vegan, but just choose like the veggie option. But if it might have a little bit of dairy or something in it, like it's, I don't know, people have their own opinions, but I think just doing it that way takes off the stress. And just, I just think like switching up the bigger items. So even like I was buying a gluten-free bread and I didn't even realize for like a few years, I think that it actually had egg white in it as well. So as long as I'm not like buying eggs from the supermarket, like if smidges of things are in other items, I think as long as you just like do the best you can and yeah, not stress about tiny things.
Yeah, because you're already making such a big impact on the planet, your body, everything by like being at that kind of like 80-90% rule. And yeah, you're literally actually like harming yourself if you decided to not eat something substantial on those trips. It's the same with when I was in America, you go to the outskirts and it's got amazing plant-based options, like the best. And then you go into the middle of America and it is just the same, like, desert with like pies and like, well, they don't even have pies actually, but you know, just deep fried chicken or like whatever. And so of course, like, yeah, you try find like the best option, but I'm not going to starve myself or like just eat an apple when I need something like substantial. Yeah. So, you know, you break that like kind of leeway, give yourself that leeway, so you can actually live and function properly. And yeah, it just takes the pressure and stress off. But then as soon as I'm in a position where I can, I eat plant-based, and it's just like makes it so much more relaxed.
Yeah, it's good having someone that understands that perspective. I wanted to talk about OnlyFans as well. So why do you think people have such a stigma towards it? And what's your take on how it is actually respecting yourself if it is something that you want to pursue? Because you've had like a completely different point of view to most people that I hear.
It is a funny one because like obviously society for a very long time has kind of like condemned like sexual things. And like since maybe like, I don't know, it's early 90s, 2000s, it's really big. Become like a lot more open, and especially in the 2010s, like it's now like even like music videos, like all these things, it's like upfront and like a lot more open because we all do it. Like it's literally nature, and it was only because some sort of society said that that's bad and like that you shouldn't be doing that, or like you're sinning, or like, you know, that kind of thing, you're a bad person because you're doing it. But how is every human made? And like the more like we accept and understand that we all are sexual beings, like that's what we do to create one another. It's like the more we accept that and embrace it and like build safe practices around it and like teach people to be consensual and like respect themselves and like all those kind of things, it's like better rather than being like, oh no, don't talk about that. No, you shouldn't be doing that. It's like,
yeah, I feel like with me, it's been like a journey. I've been doing it for just over a year, but I feel like it's helped me explore that side of myself more. And because it is so stigmatized, before I even did that, like I would think that anything sexual is like unacceptable. Like you just do what you do in the bedroom. And like, it's even like, you're not even meant to talk about it. It's like a taboo topic. And then, yeah, I feel like once I started doing it, it's helped me kind of like view myself in a new light and like unravel different sensual sides of me. And I've done a lot of exploring. So I think it's like helped me, I don't know, just see myself in a new way instead of just being like listening to dubstep, lifting weights. I do like a few photo shoots, but it's helped me be like more sensual and womanly. And I don't know, like see a new side of myself. So I think it's been really cool. And I think the fact that it can help create freedom as well, like people shouldn't just jump into it without thinking about it first, because once you do, you can't undo it. But when I started, like, I left my 4-year unhealthy relationship, drove 10 and a half hours to Gold Coast, and then I was like trying to get jobs and everything like that. And then I had 5 days trial at a gym, and then I broke my toe, and then I had to like go and get the bone straightened and then go off for x-rays. So they said, hey, look, we don't think you're ready to work. And I actually had to keep my foot elevated for 4 to 6 weeks or something, because it was like in the knuckle. And then that's when I started it, because I'm from New Zealand and I can't get government assistance, and like I can't physically like do anything. I can barely drive. So like I had my online business as well, but like my household wasn't in a place really where I could thrive. So then when I got that first thing come through, it was like a life-changing moment. So it was actually like saved my life, and also the freedom it's given me over the last year, because I've always been so busy, never even having a break, always having 3 jobs, doing the gym, like all the stuff, just working so many hours in hospitality on minimum wage. Now that I've slowed down my lifestyle and can pay for things with that, it's like allowed me to do the deepest work that I've ever done. So I feel like, I was thinking today as well, like the growth that I've had this year is like not really tangible. Like you can't really measure it from the outside looking in. But then I realized last night, I feel like what I've done in this year alone, so in 8 months, is probably what most people do in 5 years, or if that. Like most people don't even dive into it. So just having like the spare time to do that inner work has like just improved how I am as a person so much.
And that actually like tracks back to the first, or the second part of the question that you asked me, was like about the respect part. It's like, you know, a lot of people say that maybe doing that kind of thing doesn't mean you respect yourself, but really it shows that you respect yourself so much that you're giving yourself that time to do something that you actually enjoy and that makes you feel beautiful, and like, yeah, helps you learn about yourself, like and gives you this, like you said, it changed your life getting that kind of money on that kind of time rather than like slaving your body away at a job that's so taxing that you hate to make minimum wage, which doesn't even get you by. So like a lot of people talk about self-respect. Well, I think that like that is self-respect, is that like doing that for your body, for your mind, giving you that time rather than like, yeah, doing something you absolutely hate and getting nothing for it. Not taking away from people that do that if that's how they feel, but if you're at that point where you want to do something like that, like, yeah, it really is, has, doesn't have anything to do with self-respect. You know, it's like how it's like utmost self-respect for yourself.
Yeah, you've helped me kind of try to shift my perspective, because people think like, oh my god, it's unprofessional, or they'll just like look at you so bad and disregard anything else that you've done in your life. So like as you said, because everyone is a sexual being, like unless you're asexual, I guess, but like the majority of the population, like I don't know, just because you do that, it doesn't mean that you have less knowledge or that you're unprofessional or that like that's the only thing that you can do. Like you can still have businesses and like you do your DJing and do all these other things, studying to be a PT, do your fighting and everything like that. Like, I don't know, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that you are and it's like a bad thing, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And at first, when I first started, I did really have those times where I was scared that maybe I would like lose respect from people, or you know, just yeah, like it would just be viewed as that. But I decided, you know, I don't care, I'm doing it for myself, so I can pursue all those things that you just stated. So it makes it a lot easier to do all my passions and my loves because of doing it. But in turn, anyone that like has, you know, self love for themselves isn't going to judge me for it, and anyone that does, I don't care about their opinion anyway, because it doesn't impact my life. Like it's not, they're not the kind of people I want in my life anyway, so like if I lose their respect, well, I don't care.
Has doing OnlyFans impacted your music career at all, or how people perceive you?
Oh yeah, that kind of like tracks over that. It's like, it's definitely, say, helped my music career. So then I have more time to focus on music and, like, not stress so much about money. And, yeah, actually, a few people in the music industry have actually messaged me about it, wanting to do it themselves, or maybe just have questions about it. So it made me feel like a lot better that they did, because it was like, oh wow, they actually are open-minded, and like they're not gonna think of me any less because of it. Even if they did, I would still do it and don't care. But it just makes you feel like, oh cool, those kind of people that you look up to, or that are in the industry, staple industry people, it's like, oh, they don't actually care. And I actually have had the biggest, most professional gigs since being more accepting of myself and like not trying to hide it or just being who I am. And I don't think that, yeah, anyone with an open mind is really going to be judging me for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Recently, both of us, but you as well, have been diving deep into personal development. So what have you learned about self-reflection and navigating relationships when you're becoming more self-aware of who you are and what you need?
So the deep work, it's like, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Like, it's not like, oh, I'll do a bit of work and then you're fixed. It's like a constant growth process of self-reflecting on your behaviors and like your triggers and all those kind of things, old wounds. And so it's just kind of like continually self-reflecting on those and like trying to improve how you react. But also not putting so much pressure on yourself, being like, oh, why have I acted like that? Or like, you know, I'm bad for doing that. Or, you know, it's like just a kind of balancing act of taking that pressure off yourself that you always put on yourself because of those old wounds or, your triggers, all those kind of things. And it does affect, say, like all your relationships. Maybe the people around you have triggers also, and or maybe some of the people around you cause those things or that kind of stuff. So it's just like, I don't know, learning how to talk through them rather than, say, maybe being passive aggressive. Or a lot of the time people don't realize they've done something, or they haven't done the self-work themselves, so like they're not self-reflective. So it's just kind of like giving patience and grace to yourself and to other people around you. It's a very deep topic.
The thing that I was going to say was, I think a lot of people don't even get to the point of doing work. They just are like, they never like think about past, like what they've got to do that day. But what I've been learning heaps about is how our childhood and last relationships affect us, like how we're showing up. So say if something comes up in my relationship and I'm like horrified because I feel self-conscious and like they're going to do all these things, blah blah blah, that could just be because that's something that happened in my last relationship, or something about how I was treated as a child or how I was made to feel. So that's why we react the way that we do. So becoming self-aware is like sitting down and have a conversation like, oh, this made me really uncomfortable. But what I say now is like, for the average person, it's okay, but I'm only extra hurt by it because of my past and I'm still healing. So just letting them know that just not overreacting when you don't need to be, and you're like yelling at them or like making a huge deal out of anything, and realizing why things trigger you or upset you because of your past, so that you can try to actually improve it for the future.
And I think that's like where a lot of people just need to start. It's like, start being vulnerable with those things and being like, why does this make me feel this way? It's okay maybe if you do react a little bit brash at the start because it hurt, but you need to ask why that hurt and like have a dig deep and be like, oh, actually that's because this happened to me and it's making me feel that way. Even the other person might not have meant it that way, or you know, or the situation, it's so stressful, it might like not actually need that reaction, but like you've had it because you've had a similar experience. So it's just kind of like getting vulnerable with yourself, which is uncomfortable because, you know, it's like our feelings, you know, but really being like, why am I feeling like this? And it's probably going to be some sort of old wound, and then reflecting on that and being like, okay, cool, well, actually I can react better to this. Or so it's also, yeah, giving yourself that grace to have a reaction, but then maybe like changing it from then on, and like, or just being aware of it, and so you can move on rather than just being like, oh no, that's just how I act, or no, that really made me angry. It's like, well, did it really warrant that reaction, or you know, am I just holding and harboring really bad words?
What would you say is the first step for people to dive into their trauma or personal development, because heaps of people just say like, oh, well, going to a therapy session doesn't really suit them. So like, what kind of other options are there for them to actually have those thoughts come up?
Well, honestly, I found for myself in recent times, I was at a very peaceful point in my life because I'd been by myself. So as a person, I was doing really good. But then I got into a relationship, which opened up a whole bunch of relationship triggers. And so I started actually following a lot of pages that kind of counselors, therapists, and doing a lot of research on triggers and like that kind of thing. So instead of like going to a therapist, rather like kind of counseling yourself and doing that research and being like, why does this hurt, or like, why am I acting like this, or you know, doing your own research and having those things come up, say, on your page really help you get those profound thoughts, because they're just popping up in your daily feed and being like, oh wow, that is so true, like I never thought of it that way. Rather than just, I personally, I think obviously therapy does help and a lot of people do need it, but yeah, not open to going to it. So kind of counseling yourself through it and asking yourself those questions. It is still hard because self-reflection is key. So it could just be something as small as reflecting why you are not you're a night owl or something, you know, just those small things. Rather, it doesn't have to be so deep at the start. It could just be, why are you like this as a person now? And then that can start breaking down the surface level of who you are. And then you can start doing the deeper questions of like, oh, well, why do I react so angry with this thing? Or like, why does this make me so sad? But sometimes it does just take scratching the surface rather than trying to go deep as straight away.
And there are other people that you can go to instead of like traditional therapists as well, because I think people think like they don't want to sit in an appointment and like say all this things to this person, and they just say like, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? And they're just like, stuff this, I don't want to do it. So two people that have helped me, I just finished up with business coaching this week. So before that, when I got out of my relationship in Rockhampton, there was a woman's confidence coach, and I've never really seen anyone like that. And I was just going to do like a promo on my story for her today, because the work I've done with the business coach, I wouldn't have been able to dive that deep or even be like self-aware of all the internal dialogue if I hadn't even opened up with that original girl in the first place. So she does women's confidence coaching, and I sat down for like a 5-hour session with her once, diving into my earliest childhood memories. And she had like a whiteboard, you get like a portfolio of worksheets to take away, and that was like a different experience to just like going to a therapist appointment. And because she's early 20s, she can relate to you and can knows where you're at in life. And then with the business coach, well, that confidence coach told me actually that you are your business as well. So if you're not good, your business isn't good. If your home life or relationship isn't good, you can't really show up in your business as your best self. So fixing all those other areas will optimize your business. And then the business coach is also qualified as a trauma-informed coach or trauma healing coach. So we broke through some deep as questions earlier in the week, like the deepest questions you could ever ask yourself. I don't even know the answers yet, I just like wrote it down, but it's like deep as serious stuff. And I don't think people would ever ask that in their whole lives, because it's easier just to ignore it and carry on your way of how you've always been. But that's why I've had so many crazy breakthroughs. So just, it's about finding the right person, because there's a million coaches online, but someone that like really understands you as a person, might have a similar life story or have similar interests and things like that, so that they really understand you on your level. So there's like, yeah, other people that you can find online as well.
Yeah, there's so many options nowadays, like to have like that help and kind of like move forward in those things. Yeah, I think like, everyone is going to have a different journey as well. Like, it's important to just know that, not to compare to anyone else, and kind of like give yourself that grace to just do it at your own pace and just take everything like one step at a time. So you're doing it in like a slow process rather than trying to like change everything about your life at once. If you've just all of a sudden been like, oh, I want to self-reflect more, or I want to change the path that my life is going down. It's like, rather than being like, I need to change everything. It's like, just little steps, take the time to like, yeah, go to a counselor or a life coach or a business coach, because they can all really impact you a lot. Even like something small, like learning yoga is actually a form of therapy, and maybe you're not talking just yet, but it could be that first start to give yourself some self-love. Or even for myself, kickboxing is major therapy. Like, it's so good, releases so much energy. I don't know where I'd be without it. So maybe that could be like a first start to make you feel a bit more powerful in yourself, to be a little bit more vulnerable soon with going to a counselor or a life coach.
I just remembered one more thing that I love your opinion. I was stressing out to you like a couple of weeks ago because I was like, oh my God, my family will think that I haven't even achieved the things that I planned this year. And I was like so stressed about what my partner or my family will think, or the outside world, because as I said, all the growth I've done like tangible things, like restructured my whole business, like rebranded my podcast, launched a recipe app, competed in bodybuilding, like all the stuff, but like I don't give myself credit. But then I was stressing out to you about like that I'm not moving fast enough for the expectations, and then you said we don't need to be productive all the time, and I was like, oh my God, that is so true. Because we always think like we need to achieve this goal by this date, and then as soon as you get it, it's onto the next thing. So we never just have like a couple of months to just like be in life.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of people kind of measure their happiness is from, like success. It's like that you're never really going to be happy within yourself if you can't just slow down and like not measure your like success off like your achievements and like all that kind of stuff. So that is an achievement, learning how to slow down and just be with yourself and give yourself time to take in everything that you've actually done and give yourself credit to everything. And I think especially say when it comes to other people's opinions about it, a lot of the time they haven't done all these things, or you know, it's like you can't worry or compare for that reason. It's like a lot of the time we look up to someone and we're like, oh, amazing, but we really do only see, say on social media, we only see like the smallest fraction of their life. We don't see all the troubles that they're actually going through. And so it's so important not to compare like that success thing. But yeah, I really, my biggest achievement is learning how to slow down and on yourself and know that it's okay to not be constantly achieving like big outside goals, because inner goals are like how you're even going to achieve outer goals.
Yeah. Well, that is everything for today. Is there anything else you wanted to add before you wrap up?
Make sure you believe in yourself. Believing in yourself is like hands down the most important thing, because at the end of the day, if you love what you're doing, it doesn't matter about people's opinions, like external factors that might make it a challenge. You'll continually make it happen for you, and like because you love it, and that's the main important thing. So you just got to believe in that fact of that, no, I love this and I'm gonna do it. It doesn't matter any other external factor.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for hopping on. I'll put your Instagram below, and I think that was it. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. I hope you found some valuable information that you can implement into your own lives, and yeah, stay tuned for next week.
Thank you. Oh, cute.